This is episode 410. Do you have this scenario happen every time you try to fix your bad eating habits? You eat the food, you feel fat and gross and disgusting, and you tell yourself, I'm weak and I'm a failure, and then you go and repeat eat the bad food again as a form of self-punishment. If you're thinking, yep, that's me to a T, then this episode is for you because I want to talk to you about how I learned how to take control of my terrible eating patterns and stop using sugar as a drug so that I could become self-disciplined with my diet without being a horrible savage to myself. Yeah, it's possible to be peacefully and kindly in control of your food choices without restriction or deprivation. You want to know how? Let's get into it.
Welcome to the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. You've tuned in because you want to start taking your health seriously so you don't, well, get sick and die. Here we talk all things health, nutrition, and human optimization. Let's jump into it with your host and resident scientist, Maddie Lansdowne.
What's up, my healthy friends? Welcome back to another Coaching with Maddie episode. This year, it's my mission to coach 500 people to get control of their sugar cravings and their sugar binges so they can stop yo-yo dieting, stop obsessing about food, and finally create a body that they feel confident being in. And if you resonate with anything I just said, the link is down below in the show notes or the caption below. To get in contact, explore the opportunities with what we do with emotional binge and overeaters, see if we can't be the right next step for your journey. All right. So part of that journey for many people is coming face to face with the idea that they're not in control of themselves. Or maybe you already have the awareness that you're not in control of yourself. And that's why you're listening or watching or inquiring, because you know that your relationship with food is complex, or at the very least, confusing and not under wraps. And so you often end up in situations where you're binge eating, you're overeating, you're unconsciously consuming food, and you either catch yourself in the middle of it or afterwards you just feel like you're like a whoa. You're just a zombie. Your blood sugar's super high. You can't really focus. You know, maybe you even do that at lunchtime. Maybe you disappear from the office at lunch and go and smash a heap of food and then come back, and the afternoon you're kind of, you know, just tired and unable to do anything, and you get home and you're kind of irritable and people piss you off. And the reality is that we're not taking responsibility for ourselves, you know? And there's no judgment here, right? I also was in this situation of not taking responsibility for myself. That's how I learned how to do all of this, is that I went on a journey of understanding my relationship with sugar and food, and not just that, but coping mechanisms in general and escapism in general. But I had to come face to face with this idea, like, why was I so resistant to being responsible? Why did I not want to be in control? Because every time I was in control, it felt good for a few moments, but then I would celebrate or come to a deal with myself and say, oh, you've been in control for 5 minutes. Reward yourself with some chocolate cake. Right? And a conversation I've had many times with clients, you know, like getting on the scales, you know, many people that are overweight or even that are a healthy weight, or even if you're underweight, stepping on the scales can be a trigger in both directions. If it's the number you don't want to see, then it triggers you to go and self-punish with food or insert escapism, punishment mechanism, drugs, porn, alcohol, sugar, Netflix, whatever. But if it's a number that is a good number, sometimes that's permission for you to go and eat the same food that you would have punished yourself with if it was the number you didn't want to see. And what that tells me, because I was in this situation too, of either punishing myself with food or celebrating with the same food, what this says is we're not in control, right? We're not taking responsibility. And the idea that I want to sort of suggest or pop into this conversation is that there's a reason that feeling in control and being responsible for ourselves feels unsafe, right? Or it feels like something we're unable to do. And the reality is that it's because there's no one to blame. There's no excuse beyond the truth. Because while you're out of control, or whilst you're not taking responsibility, who is to blame? Everyone else. The sugar industry, work, your partner, the kids stressing you out. And you know what? When you're responsible and in control, the buck stops with you. And it doesn't always feel amazing to have to stare yourself in the mirror and look yourself in the eye and say, I let the team down. I let me down. And so it feels unsafe to be in a position of control and responsibility because responsibility is a lot to carry, right? And you have to own up to the truth, right? And the truth can be confronting and intimidating and overwhelming for a lot of different reasons. Because if you're having to take responsibility for choices that you've made, you might have to accept something about yourself which you don't want to confront, which is that I've let myself down. I'm a bit of a failure. I'm not very reliable. I'm addicted. I'm unstable. I'm pathetic. I'm weak. All of these things. They're dreadful things to think about ourselves. Now, you might start thinking, if you've listened to things I've had to say before, Maddie, that's a little bit at contradiction with some of the stuff you say about self-love. Now, one of the important things I want to make clear about self-love and self-respect is that neither of those states should be states of self-denial. Sometimes we have failed. Sometimes we have let ourselves down. But someone that's in control and responsible and a good leader of self acknowledges the truth and rapidly moves into repair and strategy about how we move forward. Now, we don't want to do that in being ignorant of our feelings either. Like, we want to acknowledge, I feel like a failure, I've let myself down. We want to spend a little bit of time there with self-nurturing and having our own back and understanding how we got here. But someone that's responsible takes ownership for the truth, right? And when we're not responsible and not in control, guess what? We get to run away from the truth. Or we get to use the sugar or the drugs or the porn or the alcohol or the phone or whatever. We get to use that as the escape mechanism from the truth, okay? Are those things bad all of the time? No, they're not. You know, consciously choosing to eat chocolate or consciously choosing to do a bit of scrolling on social media, that's totally okay, right? It's the amount or the volume that dictates the poison, okay? And if you're listening to this podcast or you've just come across this kind of idea as to why maybe you have been yo-yo dieting for so many years or why you've been unable to commit to changing insert thing right there, then it might be because control and responsibility feel unsafe. And so what we want to emulate is moving and stepping into a place where we can be the leader or the captain of our own ship. This is not involving anybody else. We've got to look into it a little bit though, because if you find that idea, you know, challenging or you're resistant to it, maybe it's because you had a highly controlling parent or partner or boss or situation with your finances that you felt so controlled and oppressed and restricted that it meant that when you get to a stage in your life where you have to take control and responsibility for yourself, there's this rebellion that comes out that says, no, I'm not going to put restriction or limitation on myself. I'm a grown adult. I'll do whatever I like. Guess what? I got a little fun fact for you. That's a tantrum from a child. It's only a child that throws a tantrum of I'll do what I like when I like, not a grown adult, okay? And do we have to be in our grown adult state all of the time? No, not at all. Expressing your inner child, having fun, you know, enjoying time with the kids, enjoying time with the boys, hanging out with the girls, being silly, being funny, all of that's fantastic and should be included in everybody's healthy life expression. Because if it's not, your inner child comes out in unhelpful ways, like throwing tantrums because it didn't get what it needed, right? And so whether you were controlled by a parent, a boss, a partner, a situation, your finances, whatever, you need to work through that. You need to process that. You need to go back into your past and understand what was going on then, make sense of it, feel the emotions, feel the understanding of the person that was oppressing you at the time, because it might have made perfect logical sense to them to act in that way, but they didn't anticipate that it would affect you in this way. So we've got to do the work of the past there to be okay with control and responsibility. Because if you can't take responsibility for yourself or be in the driver's situation or the driver's seat of your own life, you are going to be on the hamster wheel of a clusterfuck of shit that's going to keep perpetuating throughout your entire life. And you'll come back to the same situation where you're depressed, sad, feeling like a failure, blaming yourself for being weak, pathetic, and unable to take control for longer than 5 seconds. And nobody wants to be on that hamster wheel. I was in that situation for 10 to 12 to 13 years. And yes, I'm lucky. I'm in a generation of people that had access to social media, which was promoting growth mindset and emotional transformation and the concept of small trauma, big trauma, and how that affects psychology and behavior. And lucky me, right? But equally, lucky you. You're watching this, right? And I'm sharing this message to be able to give you the tools to be able to start making changes so that you are in control of your food consumption, your overeating, your binge eating, your sugar addiction, your Netflix addiction, your porn addiction, your drug addiction, your alcohol addiction. Because if you have a resistance to being in control and being responsible for your life journey and your health journey, then it's time to start looking at that. What's going on there? What's wrong? What was wrong? What created this version of your personality or this part of you that is expressed when responsibility and control pops up? Because we need to look at it. Because if you can't be in control or responsible, not much is going to change. And if it changes, it's not going to be for very long. Or you're just going to end up in a situation where you're going to get a horrible diagnosis or some dreadful mental health scenarios will present themselves in your life. And that's just, I don't want that for you, right? So take some of my lessons, hear some of my stories. We've had hundreds of women through our programs and we've had a bunch of men as well. And so, you know, whatever you can take from this to be able to start changing and start being responsible and being in control, start small. Don't go overwhelmingly huge overnight. Start small. You know, make it one meal, make it one day, make it one week that you're going to take responsibility for. And then reassess, check in. How did it go? Did it work? Did it not work? Where were you triggered? Where did you lose control? Why did you drop the ball? You know, and when you did drop the ball, you know, remember, somebody that's a leader, that's in control and responsible, takes ownership. I dropped the ball there. I let myself down. I had a small failure. And that's okay because I'm human. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to feel the feelings, the disappointment, the embarrassment, the shame, all of those feelings are normal. You have to feel them in order to release them. And releasing them then puts you back in control because the window is no longer fogged up with your unprocessed feelings. You can see clearly as to where you are going. And you're not in the passenger seat, you're in the driver's seat. And you can choose, okay, one street at a time, one tweak a week. Where are we taking this vehicle next? Where are we going next? Not where are we going to be in a year? Now, where are we going to want to be in 10 years? Sure, it's nice to romanticize and fantasize about those outcomes, but 1 year results or 6 months results, 1 year results, 5 year results, 10 year results, 40 year results are created one day at a time, one decision at a time. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us some feedback, give us some love, comments, likes, subscriptions, all of the things that you can do to be a part of this journey. I would be gratefully appreciative if you'd join me, especially if you enjoyed it. And if you think you got something out of this episode or you know somebody else that, you know, needs to hear this information, please share it with them. And in the meantime, I'll catch you on the next episode. Bye. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learnt anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast, simply find the main page of this show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember too that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning into the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is. Because you're listening here, I can safely assume you're an absolute legend. And so if you want to keep this party going, I'd love to invite you over to follow me on Instagram or YouTube. Both under the same name of The Real Weight Loss Coach. Over there, you'll find different content in both places. It's different. So heaps of bite-sized pieces of information. So if you want to learn lots of things really fast with a bit of a scroll, or simply you just prefer some visuals, then scroll over to The Real Weight Loss Coach on Instagram and YouTube. So see you there. Thank you. And let's get back into the episode.